Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, put your hands together. I need to see you screaming here. Shake your red hair like me. Woo! Hey.
If I were a drum, I would use my cymbal. If I were a writer, I would use a pencil. I would use my voice. If I were a singer, ooh, no matter who or what we are, we must pray. If I was a doctor, I would use my research, a prolific dissertation. If I was a speaker, I would use my hands. If I were a potter, no matter
Lord, water of thirst, Lord.
magnify you. We thank you for what you've done, God. What you're doing, God. And what you're gonna do. No matter who or what we are, we must praise.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. We must praise. Welcome everybody to Wednesday night Bible study. Amen. I thank God for everyone that's here in service on tonight for our Bible study. Amen. So let us enter in as we enter in to receive on tonight. In the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father, we thank you for another opportunity that you allowed us to come, oh God, to receive, hallelujah, your word, oh God, with knowledge and wisdom and understanding so that we can apply it to our daily lives and live a life that is upright and pleasing to thy sight, oh Lord. And Lord, we just want to say thank you and we love you. We ask that you allow the scripture and the lesson, oh God, to take root and manifest in us, mind, body. Hallelujah, and being grateful in our hearts and mind, helping us to keep our mind stayed on you. And we just want to say thank you, and we love you. Thank you that you loved us first. We come against every unteachable spirit, every hindering spirit on the line, every spirit of confusion, doubt, and disbelief. Hallelujah, we command you to cease your works and die at the root and come out in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We decree and declare this deliverance, and that we may enter in right now and receive. So, Father God, we ask in Jesus' name that you'll open up the channels of our spirit so that we can receive great and mighty in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We just want to say thank you. We decree and declare by faith that it is so and it shall be no other way. To God be the glory. Amen, amen, and amen. Tonight, church, we're going to be, our study of lesson is the two covenants, your blessings in Christ, moving from promise to fulfillment. So we're going to start off in the book of Deuteronomy. If you have your Bibles, and hopefully you do, have your Bibles, for it is Bible study. And so we need to make sure we have our Bibles, a highlighter, pen, and paper. Hallelujah, so that you can take notes and be able to go back to it and apply it to your daily life. And also, most importantly, to share it with others in your house or family members, coworkers, friends. Amen. So that they can too receive the word. Amen. You may be the only means, the way that they may receive the word and understand it. So make sure you have your pen and paper and your Bible so you can follow along and jot down any notes or any comments or questions you may have when the lines are open up for any questions or comments. Amen. So we're going to start off in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. Hallelujah. That's Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. I'm coming out of the New King James Version. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9, therefore, know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. Amen. So men often make covenants. They know the advantages to being derived from them. A covenant can bring an end to enmity, you all. Enmity, write that word down, enmity, so that you can understand what is enmity. I'm going to spell it for you. It's spelled E-N-M-I-T-Y, enmity, E-N-M-I-T-Y. Between two parties. So what enmity means is a state or feeling of being actively opposed or hostile to someone or something. So it can spell out a list of services and benefits that are to be rendered by the parties, offering security for their certain performance, which I'm my covenant right now. So as a bond of friendship and goodwill, as a ground for perfect confidence, a covenant has often been of unspeakable value. In his infinite concession, we talk about God here, when we look at the word infinite, it means limitless or endless. And when you look at the word condescension, that word means an attitude of patronizing superiority. So in his infinite condescension to our human weakness and need, God has sought to make a use of every possible means to give us perfect confidence in himself and full assurance of all that he, in his infinite riches and power as God has promised to do for us. Amen. It is with this in view that he has consented to bind himself by covenant as if he could not be trusted. Happy is the person who truly knows God as his covenant God and understands what the covenant promises him. Amen. So what an unwavering confidence of expectation it secures, guaranteeing that all it terms, hallelujah, will be fulfilled to him. So what a claim and hold it gives him on the covenant-keeping God himself. Hallelujah. See, too many a person who has never thought much about the covenant, a true and living faith in it would mean the transformation of his whole life. The full knowledge of what God wants to do for him and the assurance that he will certainly do it makes the covenant the very gate of heaven. May the Holy Spirit give us insight into some of its glory. Amen. When God created man in his image and likeness, his intent was that man might have a life as much like his own as it was possible for a creature to have. So this was to be by God himself, living and working in man. His desire was that man would yield himself in a loving dependence to the wonderful glory of being the recipient of the barrier, the manifestation of the divine life. The one secret of man's happiness was to be a trustful surrender of his whole being to the willing and the working of God. Amen. So when sin entered this relationship to God, it was destroyed. For when man disobeyed, he feared God and fled from him. He no longer knew or loved or trusted God. See, man could not save himself from the power of sin. If his redemption was to be effected, God must do it all. And if God was to do it in harmony with the law of man's nature, man must be brought to desire it, to give his willing consent and entrust himself to God. So all that God wanted man to do was to believe in him. Amen. So what a man believes moves and rules his whole being, for it enters into him and becomes part of his very life. Salvation could only be by faith. Only God could restore the life man had lost. So man must, in faith, yield himself to God's work and will. See, the first great work of God with man was to get him to believe. See, this work cost God more care and time and patience than we can easily conceive. So all his dealings with individual men and with the people of Israel had just this one object, to teach men to trust him. Where he found faith, he could do anything. Nothing dishonored or grieved him so much as unbelief. Unbelief was the root of disobedience and of every sin. It made it impossible for God to do his work. See, the one thing God sought to awaken in men by promise and threatening by mercy and judgment was faith. Of the many devices that God's patient and condescending grace made use of to stir up and strengthen faith, the chief was the covenant. In more than one way, God sought to accomplish this by his covenant. First of all, his covenant was always a revelation of his purpose. For it set forth indefinite promises what God was willing to bring about in those with whom the covenant was made. It was an outline and pattern of the work God intended to do on their behalf so that they might, hallelujah, that they might know what to desire and expect. So their faith might nourish itself with the very things, though as yet unseen, that God was working out. Likewise, the covenant was meant to be a security and guarantee, as simple and understandable as the divine glory could make it, that the very things that God had promised would indeed be brought to pass in those with whom he had entered into covenant. See, amid all delay and disappointment and apparent failure of divine promises, the covenant was to be the anchor of the soul. When we talk about the soul, understanding the spiritual, hallelujah, understanding what the soul is the spiritual principle embodied of an individual life. So I wanted to give us an understanding of what soul is. So the covenant was to be the anchor of the soul, a pledge of a pledge of a divine truthfulness and faithfulness and unchangeableness for the performance of what had been promised. And so the covenant was above all designed to give man a hold upon God as the covenant-keeping one. It was to link him to God himself in expectation and hope, to bring him to make God himself alone the portion and the strength of his soul. Amen. Hallelujah. If you're just now getting on with us tonight, we are talking about the two covenants, your blessings in Christ and moving from promise to fulfillment. So we're talking about the two covenants. This will be our study and lesson here probably for the next 4 weeks on a Bible study. All right. So, again, we're talking about the two covenants. Let's start right. And that we knew how God longs that we should trust him and how surely his every promise must be fulfilled for those who will do so. So that we knew how it is owing to nothing but our unbelief that we cannot enter into the possession of God's promises, and that without our trust, God cannot do his mighty works in us and for us and through us. And that when I want us to understand that we knew how one of the sorest remedies for our unbelief, the divinely chosen cure for it is, the covenant into which God has entered with us, the sending forth of the Spirit, the economy of grace in Christ Jesus, the whole of our spiritual life, the health and growth and strength of the church, amen, has been provided for and secured in the new covenant. It is, hallelujah, is it any wonder that where that covenant is, little doubt of where it is, understand and plead for an abounding and unhesitating confidence in God is little understood and tested, that the Christian misses the joy and the strength. See, the holiness and the heaviness you are which God intended and so clearly promised that he should have. Let us listen to the words in which God's written revelation calls us to know and worship and trust our covenant-keeping God. Hopefully we shall find what we have been looking for, the deep, full experience of all that God's grace can do in us. In our text, Moses says that, "Know therefore that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps his covenant and his loving kindness with those who love him." Here, also what God says in Isaiah 54:10, the mountains may be removed and the hills may shake, but my loving kindness will not be removed from you and my covenant of peace will not be shaken. More sure than any mountain is fulfillment of every covenant promise. And then in Jeremiah 32:40, God speaks of a new covenant. He says, I will make an everlasting covenant with them that I will not turn away from them to do them good, and I will put the fear of me in their hearts so that they will not turn away from me. See, this covenant assures us that God will not turn away from us, nor we turn away from him, that he undertakes both for himself and for us. Amen. Hallelujah. Let us ask every earnestly whether the lack in our Christian life, and especially in our faith, is not owing to our neglect of the covenant. Perhaps we have not trusted the covenant-keeping God. Our souls have not done what God called us to do, to take hold of his covenant, to remember the covenant, so God could not fulfill his promises in us. We need to examine the terms of the covenant to see it as the title deed of our inheritance and then of the riches we are to possess even here on earth. We need to think of the certainty of its fulfillment more sure than foundations of the everlasting mountains. If we return to God who keeps his covenant forever, our life will surely be transformed. It can and will be all that God will make it. Hallelujah. See, the great lack of our spiritual life is that we need more God. Amen. We need more of God. We have accepted salvation as his gift, but we have not comprehended that the object of our salvation and his chief blessing is to bring us into that close relationship with God for which we were created and which our glory in eternity will be found. See, all that God has done in making a covenant for his people is designed to teach them to trust in him, to delight in him, to be one with him. It cannot be otherwise. So if God is indeed the very fountain of goodness and glory of of beauty and blessedness, the more we have of his presence, the more we conform to his will, the more we are engaged in his services. Amen. Hallelujah. The more we have him ruling and working in us, the more truly happy we shall be. If God is indeed the owner and author of life and strength, of holiness and happiness, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And can alone give and work this in us, the more we trust and depend on him, the stronger and holier and the happier, hallelujah, we shall be. Amen. The only true life is one that brings us every day nearer to God and makes us give up everything to have more of him. No obedience can be too strict. No dependency, you all, too absolute, and no confidence too implicit, you all, to a person who is learning to count God himself, his chief good, his exceeding joy, and entering into covenant with us. God's one objective is to draw us to himself, to render us entirely dependent upon himself, and so to bring us into the right position and disposition in which he can fill us with himself, his love, and his bless. Amen? Hallelujah. His dear blessing is. Let us undertake our study of New Covenant with the honest purpose and desire to know what God wishes to be to us, to do in us. Amen. The New Covenant will become to us one of the windows of heaven through which we see into the very heart of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you have any questions at this time or comments, please do so at this time. Press 1. We want to hear from you as we are talking about the covenant, the two covenants here, and understanding the covenant God made with us. Amen. And how we've been called back into that covenant. Amen. And being reconciled to God through Christ Jesus. Amen. And his finished work on the cross. Hallelujah. Tonight I'm not going to be before you long, you all. We've been in prayer for the last 16 days, 6 a.m., 12 noon, and 6 p.m., and then I have prayer outside of that, and so I don't want to strain my voice, and I want to make you all strain your ear to try to hear what I'm trying to say, and I know it's kind of hard with this line, so if you have any questions or comments at this time, please press 1. I'd like to hear from you and address any questions, answer any questions that you may have, and address any comments that you may have to bring a better understanding. I believe as we go through this lesson of study that you all will have a more understanding about the two covenants, how it works, amen, and how we are under the covenant of grace, Christ Jesus, amen, in the name of Jesus Christ. So if you, like I said, if you have any questions or comments at this time, like I said, I'm not going to continue on in the lesson for the sake of my voice here tonight, but I definitely wanted to get on the line so that we can at least be able to start off in our lesson, and we'll be able to pick back up on next Wednesday, and we'll talk about the two covenants and their relation. So we'll have more time to go over that. So, again, if you have any questions or comments at this time, please press 1, or if you have any comments, amen. Now, if you like, you can join us in the morning at 6 a.m. We'll be on our prayer line at 520-525-8608 at 6 a.m. and 12 noon and 6 p.m. In the evening, Central Standard Time. And if you can, join us at those times, because we'll be wrapping up here today, like I said, May the 16th of the 21. So we'll have 5 more days in. So tomorrow we'll actually have 4 more days. And we're just thanking God for what he's doing. And God is doing a new thing. And we thank God for his new thing. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. All right, since no one has any questions or comments, we're going to go ahead and wrap up here tonight. I hope the little bit that we received on tonight was much to give us an understanding. If you missed any part of it from the beginning, you can always go back. The Bible studies and Sunday services, all that we do on this line are archived, so you can always go back and listen to it, slow it down or speed it up, amen, so you can be caught up on the lesson as we'll return back here on next Wednesday as we are discussing and learning more about the two covenants, amen, and your blessings in Christ and moving from promise to fulfillment. Let us pray as we exit out of our Bible study on tonight. Father God, we thank you. Father, we ask in Jesus' name that all that we have learned here on tonight, oh God, that it will definitely take root in us, oh God, that we will use it, oh God, not keep it to ourselves, oh God, but be able to minister to others, that they too can come and understand your covenant that you made with us, amen, that we are Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we just want to say thank you, Lord. Though we live this life, but never your presence. Lord, that you go with us, oh God, that your angels are camp all around us, oh God, protecting us from seen and unforeseen dangers of this world. And we just want to say thank you, and we love you. We thank you that you loved us first, oh God. We thank you that you had a plan for us before the foundation of this world to save us, to save your children, oh God. And we just want to say thank you, Father. We decree and declare that all is well with us in our home. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. To God be the glory. Amen, amen, and amen. If you can join us again, you all, in the morning, like I said, at 6 a.m., please join us. If not, hallelujah, join us at 12 or 6 p.m. Know that we're praying for you, amen, and trusting God in it. Next Wednesday, we will be able to go through more here. Again, like I said, because I've been in prayer so much, my voice is pretty much strained, so I want to save my voice. But definitely wanted to get on tonight, and I thank you all for your understanding. God bless you. God keep you. I love you. Remember, Jesus loves you. God loves you more. Hallelujah. The devil is defeated. Jesus is Lord. God bless you. God keep you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you,
all
Jesus.
I want to see him look upon his face. Let us sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice.
I want to hear her say, well.
Give it back to you. You gave me my husband, you know I love him. And now I'll give him back, so you know I'm all in. Lord, take my children, my family. I want you to know that you have me. I need to know that you're happy. Yeah, when I finally stop breathing,
I wanna hear
yeah.
King on the throne. Hold up, wait a minute. Gold streets, gold mansion. Just because I look gone with a passion. Can't get you in the gates, but if you're asking, he'll give you that like, can you imagine? Living without all his grace. Sometimes I still get amazed. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Pressure for all of my days until I finally stop breathing. Yeah.
Yeah.